Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. First on the docket, apparently that $27 million settlement in the George Floyd matter had some effect on jurors that were already seated. The judge dismisses two jurors. Second, not the headline a Kansas State senator was looking for. Third, no happy ending at the Georgia spas. Fourth, Brandon Clark has been sentenced. Fifth, Cuomo's accuser meets with investigators for 4 hours. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, I'd please ask that you hit that subscribe button as well as that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. Thanks to everyone that joined us last night in our live. It's now up on YouTube. You can check it out. Had a really good discussion about voir dire, if anybody's interested in that, as well as a great discussion if you're on Patreon. So if you're a Patreon member, make sure you check your email for that link. All right, let's get straight to the docket today. First, apparently the announcement of a $27 million settlement between the Minneapolis Police Department and the city and George Floyd's family did in fact have an impact on the jury. The judge recalled of the jurors that have previously been screened and accepted as potential jurors in the George Floyd case, only to find out that two were extremely disturbed and affected by the settlement. As one juror said, if it was $2,000, that's probably no big deal, but $20 million, the juror said that I didn't exactly have a great opinion of Mr. Chauvin, and this certainly didn't help. They've referred to it as a little bit of a sticker shock. Now, the defense has asked, obviously, for the trial to be delayed or moved to a different jurisdiction. The judge hasn't really said he's going to grant that or even consider that at this point because they're still moving forward trying to find potential jurors. But the defense has complained that, hey, this was done, this was calculated by the city council, who, just coincidentally, happens to have the son of the attorney general who's prosecuting this case on the city council, and they announced this settlement. Normally, these types of things are done after the criminal case for this exact reason. So there is no taint as it relates to a fair trial to both sides in this particular case. Whatever happens, win, lose, or draw, both sides are actually entitled to a fair trial. And if they can't get it because the city dropped that little $27 million bombshell, then maybe they need to move the trial. If the judge doesn't consider that option and the trial goes forward and there's a conviction, that will be an issue on appeal. And this thing may be done all over again in about 3 years. So makes sense to do it right and do it once. Next on the docket, not exactly the headline that a Kansas State senator was looking for. Normally, politicians like to have their pictures taken with big headlines of little gold shovels starting hills for new projects, or maybe out there doing good for the citizens. They don't want headlines, specifically like Kansas Senate Majority Leader Gene Sullentrop got yesterday. He was arrested at 1 a.m. for drunk driving. He also attempted to flee the arresting officer, speeding and improperly crossing a divided highway. He got booked into custody about 3:55 yesterday and got to appear in court in a green and yellow jail attire. Not exactly what the senior politician in Kansas was wanting for his morning wardrobe selection, I'm sure. Needless to say, everyone's issuing statements on behalf of the senator, stating that obviously they're disappointed and that the Senate will continue to do the work of the great state of Kansas for the people. We'll continue to follow this case, and when a police report is available, we'll see if Senator Sullentrop has a case that is defendable or whether he'll be accepting a guilty plea and maybe ending his days in public office. Obviously, we'll give him the presumption of innocence. Next on the docket, no happy ending at the Georgia spa shooting case. Now, the suspect, who's been named Robert Aaron Long, is 21 years old and has been arrested in connection with the killing of 8 people in 3 shootings in the Atlanta area. The 21-year-old Georgia man was arrested late Tuesday in connection with the killing of 8 people, many of them women of Asian descent. Robert Aaron Long of Woodstock, Georgia, was captured that evening in Crisp County, which is about 150 miles southeast of Atlanta. Officers reportedly found a 9mm firearm in Mr. Long's car and are running forensic tests to determine whether it was used in the shootings. It is the only weapon, they said, that the police found. Law enforcement believes that Mr. Long acted alone and he allegedly took responsibility for the killings. Mr. Long reportedly targeted the businesses in retaliation for providing an outlet for his addiction to sex, according to law enforcement officials. The police say that it's a temptation for him and he wanted to eliminate that temptation. Long apparently told the police that this was not racially motivated. We'll obviously continue to follow that case as new information is developed. Let's take a quick recess. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. I urge you to go to crimetalksearch.com. You just never know with whom you are dealing with. And maybe there's something that you may find out that could prevent them from doing something that everyone would regret. Next on the docket, do you remember the case of Brandon Clark? He was a 22-year-old New York man who pled guilty to recording himself murdering 17-year-old Bianca Devins and posted pictures of Devins' body on social media. Well, he learned yesterday afternoon that he will be spending 25 years to the rest of his life in prison. He immediately called 911 and said, "My name is Brandon. The victim is Bianca Michelle Devins." The call stated, "And I'm not going to stay on the phone for long because I still need to do the suicide part of the murder-suicide." Well, he'll have many, many years to contemplate what he did. How this case is rather interesting, and for all you Watts plea withdrawers, take note. Brandon Clark pled guilty, but then he tried to withdraw his guilty plea, stating that his original attorney coerced him into pleading guilty and misled him about the subsequent outcomes of a plea. A judge assigned Clark a new attorney, but that attorney refused to allow the defendant to walk back his guilty plea. Clark's original attorney testified at a hearing that Clark ignored repeated advice to take the case to trial and to argue he was suffering from an extreme emotional disturbance when he killed Miss Devins. The attorney said Clark mostly shunned that advice, but for a brief period where Clark thought it might be a good idea to go to trial. At trial, Clark was not interested in contesting his guilt, but rather wanted to tell his full side of the story. The attorney explained that Clark was preoccupied with creating his own narrative and that Clark's only fleeting interest in going to trial was the result of a desire to glean additional time in the spotlight. He said Clark spent a lot of time in jail setting up interviews with bloggers and was planning to write a memoir of his life. The attorney stated that he met with Clark at least 15 times in jail over the course of the case, and that each of those meetings lasted anywhere between 2 to 5 hours. Clark had claimed that he had only met with his attorney 5 times total for about an hour and a half apiece. The judge ruled that Clark's guilty plea was legally sound and nothing required the defendant to withdraw his guilty plea. So take note, all you Watts people who think he should withdraw his guilty plea. It's not that easy, and when you have only the claim that your attorney was somehow ineffective, you have a great hurdle to come over because the attorney can testify, and it's also deemed a waiver of attorney-client privilege, so the attorneys can explain to the world why you thought it was a good idea to accept the plea and whose idea it was to accept the plea. We'll see how that one plays out. Next on the docket, Governor Cuomo's accuser meets with investigators for 4 hours. Charlotte Bennett and her attorney, Deborah Katz, revealed that they met with investigators for 4 hours regarding allegations of sexual assault made by Ms. Bennett. They apparently described that the governor was rather preoccupied with the large size of his hands and what this suggests about him sexually. Now, Governor Cuomo has denied that he made women staffers uncomfortable and his behavior in the workplace. Governor Cuomo has not denied that he made women staffers uncomfortable with his behavior in the workplace. Instead, he apologized for what he said was a misunderstanding of his intent and apologized if he caused anyone pain. That sounds like an admission to me. He said that the allegations that he groped an aide in a sexually charged manner is simply not true, clearly a denial. And he said he never touched anyone inappropriately and that he has, quote, not had a sexual relationship that was inappropriate, end quote. So that's the criminal side. But on the impeachment side, the New York State Assembly has hired a white collar law firm of David Polk and Wardell to investigate the allegations of sexual harassment and sexual assault against the governor. So now he has wars on 2 potential fronts for sure. It is curious, though, that a lot of people have asked the governor to resign, but they haven't really followed up on what they have stated as to why he should, in fact, resign. I get he's entitled to due process. He's entitled to a fair trial if he is actually criminally charged. But it would seem that a lot of people have lost confidence in the governor. And instead of politicians calling on the governor to resign, perhaps the people should let the governor know that he needs to resign or not. I guess you get the politicians that you deserve. And maybe that's what the people of the great state of New York deserve in their leader. Somehow, I think they deserve a little better. And finally today, on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Now, a lot of people will be receiving stimulus checks in the next couple of days. But if you don't get your stimulus check, what should you not do? That's right. Don't throw a smoke bomb at anyone. Meet our dumb criminal contestant of the day, 38-year-old Paul Rawls. He faces multiple charges, including 1 count of making, possessing, throwing, or discharging a destructive device, 1 count of criminal mischief, and 1 count of disorderly conduct. What, pray tell, could he have possibly done to get those charges in relation to his stimulus check? Well, he admitted throwing that smoke bomb outside of Mar-a-Lago because he was angry that he hadn't received his stimulus check. Well, Mr. Rawls, I don't know if you've kept up on things, but the resident at Mar-a-Lago is no longer president. I'm certainly not saying you should throw smoke bombs anywhere else, But if you are, you should probably direct it to the people in charge at the time the checks should be coming out. But Mr. Rawls, that's what makes you special. That's what makes you the dumb criminal contestant of the day. And if you are selected the dumb criminal contestant of the week, you could win, that's right, a Crime Talk mug sent to you. We'll have to send it to prison because that's more than likely where you're going to be, because you can't throw smoke bombs at former presidents or anyone for that matter of fact. All right. Thanks for watching. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow on Crime Talk.